Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we continue our study in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and we'll be focusing this morning in verses 1 through 10. This is God's Word. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want to talk about three basic things here this morning. First of all, as we look at this passage, we look at the condition that we were in. Secondly, we see what God did. And finally, we'll look at why God did that. The condition that we were in. We were dead. Years ago, our friend Stuart Briscoe said, "I want you to imagine that you get up in the morning and as you head out the door for work, there is a dead person lying on the sidewalk. Would you be startled? What would you do? Would you just go on to work? Or would you feel like this deserves attention?" He said, "You and I are surrounded by dead people every day. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the fact of the matter is you were once dead. Now you're alive. And so if we are going to make any sense of our life in this world, we'd better come to terms with what God says about us. God says that we were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, 2016, I had heart surgery, and for a while, my heart was not beating. In fact, the doctors deliberately stopped it so they could get it out of my chest, okay? They repaired an aneurysm that was just above the aorta and the ascending aorta there. They fixed that. They put a sleeve around it to bind it up and keep it from continuing to expand, because the problem with it expanding and expanding is eventually it bursts and then you don't last long. They told me it would be the worst pain I'd ever had and the last. So, you know, that was a deliberate thing where they stopped my heart on purpose. But I wasn't really dead. They were just working on my heart. But before I knew Christ, I was really dead. Physically, I seemed okay. But in reality, I was dead. I wasn't just ill or severely ill, I was dead. Now, the Apostle Paul says that was the condition all of us were in, not just some of us. All of us were dead in transgressions and sins. Well, what did it look like? Did we just lie around all the time? No. A lot of us were very active. But the problem is what we were doing. We were following the ways of this world. We were submitted to the ruler of this present darkness. We were animated by demons. Don't say that, Pastor Wood, you're demonizing people. No. I'm simply diagnosing based on what God says. God says, animated by demons. They were following not only the ways of this world, but there was a spirit, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So you're saying those people are somehow under the control of demons? I'm not saying those people. I'm saying that's all of us. All of us were in that condition. We were all demon-possessed? No, I didn't say possessed. I said animated by. We were like puppets. So not me. I've always done what I want to do. That was the original lie that the Prince of Darkness told our first parents. You can do your own thing. You can be your own boss. You don't have to do what God says. You can be like God. Just go ahead and do what I say. How dumb do you have to be to trade the creator of the universe for a snake, for the lying usurper who is telling us you'll be better off doing what I say than doing what God says? That was the original temptation. That's still what human beings everywhere around the world are falling for today. I'm going to be my own boss. Anything else? Okay. We're doing what the enemy tells us to do, thinking that we're exerting our independence. Sin says, you can be your own boss. You can do your own thing. You can have it your way. And what we find is that our way puts us consistently in bondage. We find that we do things that we didn't want to do. And when we say, wow, that was dumb, I'll never do that again, we do it again. That is our natural condition, all of us. It's not some people have that sort of problem, some people live that sort of life. All of us were there. And not only were we animated by evil forces and submitted to the prince of the power of the air, we were incapable of rescuing ourselves. Why couldn't we rescue ourselves? Because spiritually speaking, we were dead. Okay? I mean, you don't say to a dead body, sit up, or wouldn't you be more comfortable if you turned on your side? I mean, there's no point. They're dead. They're dead. There isn't anything else they can do. All of us were in that condition. And the Bible says that we were like the rest, by nature, objects of wrath. We were, okay? Not us versus them. All humanity was in the same situation. All of us were under God's wrath. That's the condition we were in. We couldn't save ourselves. So what did God do about it? Well, we were dead. So, he made us alive. Verse 5 says, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. He raised us up, verse 6, with Christ. And he not only raised us up with Christ, bringing us to life, he raised us up into the heavenlies and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. We were creatures of wrath who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, we are children of God, seated with our Lord Jesus in the heavenly realms. So this doesn't, Pastor, I don't know if you've checked it out, but I still feel pretty earthbound. Well, if you're in Christ, you're not earthbound. You're heavenbound. You're on your way. And this is a temporary situation. And there's more about that in the verses to come. But we need to realize that God actually made us alive. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. In Colossians chapter 1, it talks about how he brought us out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. In Romans 6, we're told not to behave as if we're still slaves to sin, because when we're in Christ, we're no longer slaves to sin. He says, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. Who are you obeying? You see, you and I were used to following the ways of this world, and the prince of the power of the air, and the forces that suggested all kinds of destructive things to us. Jesus intervenes, makes us alive spiritually, and gives us the power and capacity to say no. I now have the freedom that I didn't have before to say no to sin. So do you always say no to sin? No, I wish. I'm working on it. I'm not sinless, but I do sin less. Okay? I'm growing in my walk with the Lord, but I have not arrived yet. In heaven, I'm not going to sin anymore. And I'm really looking forward to that. I will never mess up again. In heaven, I will no longer have to say, oh, I'm so sorry. Because in heaven, I'm going to be like Jesus, who never sinned.
Thank you for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. This radio broadcast is brought to you from the campus of Wares Valley Ranch. The ranch is a home and school for kids that God allowed my wife and I to start in 1991. And through the years, children from all over the country in various crisis situations have found a safe haven at the ranch. While here, they learn about a Heavenly Father who loved them so much that He sent Jesus to save them. If you would like to join in supporting this ministry, but you're thinking, what can I do? Well, consider joining a growing group of people who've made a commitment to support these kids by leaving a gift to Wares Valley Ranch in their will. In doing so, you'll become a member of what we're calling Legacy 145. You can learn more at wvr.org. Just click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Because Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. That's what Legacy 145 is all about. Again, wvr.org, and look for the Legacy 145 icon.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, God made us alive, He raised us up, and we are already seated with Him in heavenly realms. We're part of a team that has already won, because our champion is the forerunner, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and He has already accomplished the victory for us. We are the body of Christ, and if the head is above water, we can breathe. You know, because Jesus has won the victory is mine. Folks, this is about what He's done for us. Why did He do it? He did it, verse 4, because of His great love for us. That's the first thing it says about why He did it. God actually loves us. I don't know if you believe that. I don't know if you have come to the point of really believing the good news. Because I know a lot of people who go to church, even who go into ministry, who labor under the assumption that God is basically ticked at them all the time. The voice they expect to hear from God is, you again? I am so disappointed in you. I had real hopes for you, but you have let me down. That's the set of tapes that's playing in their head. Where did it come from? It's the lies of the enemy telling you that God's affection toward you is based on your performance. And it's not. Well, how do you know that? Because his word tells us that over and over and over again, including right here, where it says that when we were dead in transgressions and sins, when we were by nature objects of wrath, we were under the wrath of God. That's what we deserved. But God loved us. So he saw something cute about me. No, it doesn't say that at all. What it says is that God loves us based on his nature. It's based on grace. He didn't love us because we deserved it. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Why? Because he loves us. Jesus actually says to his disciples in John's gospel that we need to know, and this is part of Jesus' prayer to the Father, is wanting us to know that God the Father loves us just like he loves Jesus. Could you run that by me again? Yeah, let me run it by you again. God loves us just like he loves Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Jesus doesn't lie. Well, how is that possible? Jesus is perfect. Yes, he is. And when we get saved by trusting in Jesus, we become the body of Christ. And our salvation is not in ourselves. It's not in our works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation is in Christ. When God looks at me, he sees me robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the way he sees you, if you're trusting Jesus. Now, if you're trying to earn your salvation, read the book of Galatians and realize you need to get saved. If you're trying to do whatever it takes, oh God, if I can just, I'm really trying hard. I know I had a bad week last week, but this week's going to be different. I promise. I'm trying hard to do whatever I have to do in order to earn my salvation. You will never earn your salvation. You've already thrown up in the soup. Okay? You can't fix what's wrong with you. Why not? Because until you come to Jesus, you are dead in transgressions and sins. So the only one who can save us is God himself. And he did it because of his great love for us, verse 4. He did it, verse 7, to display the incomparable riches of his grace. It's okay for God to show off because he's God. Now, if I do it, it's very unseemly. But if God does it, he's just being God, because he is. Well, who put him in charge? He did. Well, what gives him that right? He created everything. It's all his. Okay? Well, so whatever he says goes, huh? Yes. Definitely. And so God is showing off his grace? Yeah. That was his plan all along. So he didn't really love us. Oh, yeah, he did. And that's what shows his grace. He loved us, which is amazing because we were dead in transgressions and sins, and we were living according to our own evil desires and passions and doing the things that this world does, that everybody does, which leads to death. And God loved us anyway, and he saved us anyway. And he made us alive in Christ Jesus because he loved us, because he wanted to display the incomparable riches of his grace. And so verses 5 and 8 and 9 emphasize repeatedly, it's all grace. It's undeserved. It's all grace. You've been saved by grace. Not works. It's not anything you did, lest anyone should boast. That's why God did it, because of grace. And there's one more thing, because he had something for us to do. Verse 10, look at it. This is wonderful. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It turns out the creator of the universe actually has a job for you. So is God like a little short-handed? I mean, does he need some help? God doesn't need any help at all. God isn't doing this because he can't, you know, he just can't do it without you. Who will be the hands of God? Who, you know, poor God, trying so hard to get the work done, but, you know, can't do it all himself. That's why he made us, is because he needs, no. He made us with things that he wants us to do, but not because he needs the help. It's just that's the way he designed it. God wants to use us because he loves us. Kind of like we wanted to train our children to make their own beds. Which takes longer? Getting your child to do it right or just doing it yourself? It's easier to make the bed yourself than it is to get your child to do it the right way, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So why is God doing this? Is God just a glutton for punishment? No, he loves us. And he wants to grow us up to be, get this, like him. Like him. See, Satan's lie was, if you disobey God and do what I say, you'll be like God. And God doesn't want you to be like him. That is, I mean, the whole statement is a lie. God does want us to be like him. Yeah, but he doesn't want to share his authority. Actually, he does. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and we'll eat together. And to the one who overcomes, I'll grant for him to sit with me upon my throne, just as the Father granted for me to sit with him on his throne. What does that mean? It means, as we read in Romans, that we are joint heirs with Christ. That doesn't just mean we're rich. It means, according to Scripture, that we're going to rule and reign with him. God's plan is to share the kingdom. Not just the riches of the kingdom, the authority. Oh, I don't know. That goes against kind of my picture of heaven. Well, it goes against the one I had too until I kept reading in the Bible the stuff that God says. God says that he loves us and he wants us to learn and grow and become like Jesus. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do all the things that I've commanded you. And I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Folks, the wonderful thing about this salvation is we couldn't do any of it ourselves. Why not? Because we were dead. But God did it. He made us alive, and he seated us in glory in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he loves us, and he wanted to display the incomparable riches of his grace. Because it's all about grace. And he has work for us to do. That's really good news. And I hope that you are rejoicing. Because whatever circumstances you're going through, whatever ups and downs, sickness, difficulty, whatever it is, I guarantee you this, God's word is true. And it needs to shape the way that we think and live. And our feelings will follow.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.